All right, let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you went the other day, you went to the Bucks game. I do want to touch on that because you saw a hell of a win.
Yeah, Friday night was crazy. And, one of the tweets I shared that night, and I know I actually saw as I was scrolling through my mentions that Radio Joe retweeted it and kind of said my thoughts exactly. What I said, Bill, was that, like, it's difficult to wrap my head around the fact that, you know, when something happens where, you can't get out of the first round for 18 years, and then you're up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a lot to digest. It's a lot to process. So when you're watching a game like that, and I mean, at one point in the second quarter, you're like 65-38. And I kind of said something to the effect of, like, this just feels easier than it's supposed to. And I know some people took that to mean like, oh, well, then they lost last night. I'm like, I'm not saying easy, like Toronto's not a really good team or that this was going to be a sweep. I never thought this was going to be a sweep, but it just, it was further emphasis, you know, seeing it in person and watching the way it was, where it's like when the Bucks are clicking and they are just a really, really difficult team to beat. And I think what's more fascinating than that is they weren't very good in game one and they won. They weren't very good last night and went into double overtime. Like, even when they're not good, they can have, you know, they can put a really good team like Toronto, still beat them or go to double overtime with them, even when Giannis fouled out early in the game. So, you know, I'm not going to deviate from, the thought that this is a Bucks in six, Bucks in five type of series. That was always my thought. And then Golden State becomes the next challenge. But yeah, it was a really great game on Friday. Obviously, last night I think was certainly a disappointment. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know how aggressive you were in your predictions, but I never thought it was a sweep type of series. I thought it was a 5 or 6 game series, and what I saw last night doesn't change that for me.
No, I said Bucks in five, and I thought that I still think that. I still think it'll be Bucks in five. I think that I didn't expect the Bucks. I guess my argument is, look, I wanted them to sweep, and I wanted them to win last night. I figured they would probably lose one in Toronto. It just, last night was so damn frustrating, maybe for lack of a better term. It was just frustrating. So, but to watch them just beat up on Toronto, and then Toronto giving them their best shot, and the Bucks play as bad as they did, and still come within a few points of winning that ball game, I just thought, the Bucks are going to win it, and I'm just not overly concerned about it right now. I think they just have to play better and more consistent as you get towards the finals, because Golden State won't allow you those escape routes, so to speak. Those won't be there. So that's my concern.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Giannis had, 12 last night, Middleton 11, Bledsoe 11. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but something like that.
Yeah.
Where the three guys that most people look to as their three best players had a total of like 34, 35 points. You went to double overtime, in that scenario on the road in a must-win game for the Raptors, and yet you still got that close. And I think what makes the Bucks so difficult and why I legitimately think they could be the NBA champion this year is game one was the Brook Lopez game. Who saw that coming? I mean, it's a very good regular season, but this is the Eastern Conference Finals. Game two, Ersan Ilyasova is on the podium. What? Ersan Ilyasova, you could tell already in the second quarter, that this was going to be an Ersan podium game. And then last night again, even though it wasn't a loss, like George Hill went nuts again. So you just have so many guys outside of your top three players, who are on a different night stepping up in a major way, even in losses. And I think that should be, encouraging to the Bucks fans who maybe lost a little bit of their confidence last night seeing a loss.
I do want to talk some Packers football. And you've got, again, another OTA getting underway. Another opportunity for these guys to get together. I know that they're talking about opening up some of these to the public. Do you like that concept?
Sure. I mean, these are going to be little tinkers that you see. And a lot of times, too, it depends if they're going to practice outside or inside. And if they're inside the Hudson Center, it's going to be closed off, just like it is in training camp when it rains. And if it's outdoors, open it up. Why not? At least it gives some of the young players a little bit of a taste of it. And there's a couple different directions, though, with OTAs that, it's a football practice in May. You want to be careful what you make of it, whether you're the coaching staff or whether or not Thornton is able to go. But I think it gives a little bit maybe of a, I don't want to say a game-like feeling, but at least like a training camp-type feeling so that when you show up on July 26th, I think it is this year when they start, you know, it's not maybe as overwhelming for the young players to kind of step onto that and look at the stands be full. And, you know, there's a couple different directions, Bill. You can say, like, what are they really looking to accomplish? Offensive line, I think there's some starting question marks. Can the second-round pick Elgin Jenkins, you know, unseat, say, Lane Taylor? What role does Billy Turner have on the offensive line? I think there's some things you can look at wide receiver, you know, Geronimo Allison versus Valdez Scantling versus Jamon Moore versus Ekwonemi St. Brown versus Jake Kumerow. You know, there's some battles there to be had for position spots. But, yeah, I mean, this is about implementing a new system with Matt LaFleur coming in offensively. It's about Mike Pettine being able to implement some of what he probably wanted to do last year and couldn't just because of the personnel differences now with Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, you know, guys who are just freak athletes with a much bigger body type. And, you know, trying to get that implemented early so that training camp, which, again, I mean, if you go back to the, you know, the mid-90s and the Roy Butler era, how different it was and how much more practice time you had back then versus now, it's like 3x less now than it used to be. And so you just have to make such good, valuable use of this time when you have, even though it is only a day.
And you're never going to get two-a-days like they used to have where you were hitting in both practices. I mean, none of that is ever going to happen again. That's all been collectively bargained out. So I completely agree. Hey, coming out of this, I mean, we used to be able to kind of see who had or who didn't have talent. And you know what? We get a lot from Mike Clemens because he kind of gives us the lowdown as to what they see. But this is not, again, going back to your point, this is not your typical OTA. This is just basically installation, guys in the right place at the right time. This is football 101 in the Green Bay Packers organization with their new head coach and concepts. And that's all they're trying to do. I mean, do you think that's the right approach?
I think in a lot of ways it has to be just because it is a new coach. I just think that's, you know, is it invigorating for long-term players like Rodgers, like Adams, like Bakhtiari, like Lindsley? You know, that's, you know, for each individual player to probably answer for themselves. But I think it's like a necessary portion of this. And I don't know if you're a subscriber to The Athletic. You know, the article by Michael Cohen today, and this kind of hits on a little bit what you're talking about, which is, you know, how many players are on this team now who were not drafted by the Packers, which was an extreme rarity in especially the recent years of Ted Thompson, but also Ted Thompson in general. I think what I saw, I mean, if I was to take a bullet point away from Cohen's piece, it was that there were more players on the roster now not drafted by the Packers than there were in the last 3 years of Ted Thompson's reign combined. So, like, it's not just the new players that you've drafted. It's not just about invigorating, you know, your holdovers, your long-term holdovers like Rodgers, Bakhtiari, Adams, Lindsley, et cetera. It's that you have, you know, 13 players on this roster who have been through another team's OTAs, who have been through another team's off-season style and just scheduling. You know what I mean? And so it's not just like, okay, get the system implemented. It's like you almost need to, in some ways, probably undo the training that some of these players have had with other teams. Now, maybe some of the teams they came from, it ended up being quite similar. Maybe it was really different. And so I think, you know, Ted Thompson would never probably answer this question with the level of depth that you would want. But I'm wondering if that was one of the, you know, the turn on factors for him as to why you want to draft and develop your own people, because you don't want them to have developed bad habits or to kind of have, you know, well, my old coach, you know, I learned this over there. This is how they do, and I prefer doing it that way. That is what you have now. You know, if you have like Michael Cohen pointed out, like 13 players in that who kind of fit that bucket. I mean, that's even when you have a 90-man roster, that's like one out of every seven players has gone through that with another team. That's
right.
I mean, it's a pretty darn big number, and something that LaFleur is going to obviously, you know, have to also address as he implements his system here in May.
I like the fact that he does say one of the explanations for the buildup of the clutter near the bottom of the Packers roster over the time was Thompson's aversion to signing players who had been drafted by other teams, even after those players were released to become street free agents. This is where Brian Gutekunst has kind of picked up and said, hey, we don't mind. If we got anybody with an experience that we think can help us, we're going to go ahead and bring them in. So there's a little bit of a difference between him and Ted. Good stuff, Paul. We'll chat again later in a week, okay?
And probably another convo for another day, given the time and everything. But I saw a little blurb in the Journal Sentinel talking about how, you know, the Packers are in the back seat right now of the Bucks and the Brewers. And I can tell you, Bill, in my lifetime, I've been in the state my whole life, that has never, I mean, like, you know, I guess in my lifetime that I can remember, which is probably starting in, like, you know, the early, mid-90s, don't remember what I thought when I was five, but, you know, that has just not been the case. And mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to see, you know, Packers writers starting to recognize that for the first time in decades that the Packers are third in the pecking order of Wisconsin sport. Now, will that be true in September? Probably not, you know, yeah. Being a victim of the moment. But fascinating nonetheless when you even for a moment let yourself think, like, really? The Packers might be, like, third right now? But speaks to how quickly and how fast the Brewers and Bucks have gotten on the radar.
Nope, I completely agree with you. Paul, good stuff, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, pal.
There you go. Paul Emming, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.